Luke chapter 10 in your Bibles this evening. Pastor texted me Monday night and asked if I wanted to preach, so I said sure, and then promptly went to bed. And then I worked on a message yesterday to bring to you, and this is not it. I didn't feel that it was cohesive, and I basically just wasn't satisfied with it, so I scrapped it for now and went with something else that I jotted down about 10 minutes before we jumped in the car to get here tonight. So hopefully it doesn't bear too many of the marks of a hasty preparation. I think that it's hopefully will be helpful to us. Luke chapter 10, and we'll start reading in verse 25. Let's stand in honor of the scriptures this evening. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given it to us in our own language, that we can read it and understand it, that your Holy Spirit can use it to shine a light into our lives and confront us with a mirror that we can look into and see if there be any problem in our heart regarding you. Lord, we ask that you would use your word tonight. Lord, if these people are only here to hear Amos Christensen, I'm afraid they'll be very poorly mistaken. There won't be much they'll get from that. But Lord, if we hear from you tonight, you alone can tell the benefit that we can gain from that. Lord, we ask that you would use my tongue this evening to proclaim your truth in your way to your people. And Lord, we ask that all of our hearts might be open, that we might be doers of the word and not hearers only. And these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, this is not at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and by this time he has begun to have a reputation not only as a healer, not only as a miracle worker, but also as a teacher, a very profound teacher who had a very intricate knowledge of the Word of God and of the Spirit behind the Word of God. As we can see when we read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 through 7. But there were some groups that liked to try to trip him up, despite the fact that he was very knowledgeable in the scriptures. And the Pharisees tried to get him to trip over his own tongue. The Sadducees tried to get him to say something that wouldn't be appropriate, or that would lose him a following. Some of the Herodians tried that with the Pharisees, which those two groups didn't get along together under normal circumstances. So you can just see the effect that Jesus had on the culture, that the Pharisees and the Herodians, who normally were on opposite side of the fence, were now combining to try to trip Jesus up. But we don't know exactly at what time this man asked this question. I don't think it was in the last week of his ministry, when a lot of these questions that were listed as ones that were asked to tempt him or test him, to try to trip him up, were asked. But I think this one was separate. Asked by a single individual, a lawyer. And he asks the question, What shall I do to inherit eternal life?
And this is just a side note, but I mentioned another person on Sunday who had asked a similar question. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, fulfill the commandments. And he said, which ones? Don't kill, don't commit adultery, honor your father and mother, etc. and so forth. And he said, well, I've done all that. Which, of course, if we know the spirit of the law, he hadn't. But Jesus granting him, for the sake of argument, what he said, he pointed out an issue with his heart and said, if you really are in tune with God that much, let's see how you do when you give up all your possessions and come follow me. Well, that was too big a test for him, so he walked away sorrowing. But this is another man, a lawyer, and he asks him for a different reason. I think the rich young ruler asked Jesus how he could inherit eternal life more as a way to spotlight how good a man he was. And I think the lawyer here is asking for a different reason. I think it's possible that he's even just testing how much Jesus knows the scriptures, how much he knows. Because tempting him here, the word tempting can also be translated as testing. So whether he's testing him to try to see where his knowledge is, or tempting him to try to trip him up, to try to get him to say something that can be used against him, I'm not sure. But he asks him the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asks him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? So instead of telling him, like he did the rich young ruler, follow the commandments, he instead asks him, what do you think? What do you think the Bible says about how to inherit eternal life? And he answers very astutely. So he had probably had much thought in the issue himself. He had probably done much studying in the Word of God himself to be able to come up with this answer in the first place. But then when he comes up with this answer, it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus then turns it on and says, you've answered right. Do it and you'll live. Well, he knows that he hasn't done that. Because having studied the Bible enough to know how to correctly answer the question, he also knows that he can't do it. And that's why, in another passage, Jesus says that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That's why we can't fulfill the law. The reason that we can't earn heaven, the reason that we can't work our way into God's good graces, is because we can't fulfill the law. We can't abstain 100% of the time from evil thoughts. We can't abstain 100% of the time from evil deeds. And the reason that we can't do that is because we can't love 100% with 100% of our heart and mind and soul and strength God and each other. Because we've been broken by sin. Our capacity to love each other and God in that type of way has been damaged and broken, and we can't. So when Jesus says, thou hast answered right, this do and thou shalt live, he knows that the lawyer can't do it. The lawyer knows that he can't do it. And so, willing to justify himself, he's still trying to find a way out so that he can look good out of this exchange. He asks Jesus, who is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells him a story. We call them parables. They're basically just stories. He says, a man was driving down I-295 from Augusta to Portland. And he gets cut off by an out-of-stater, and ends up rolling his truck off the freeway. His vehicle turns over several times and then explodes, typical Hollywood fashion. And as this happens, the guy that drove him off into the ditch just keeps driving off. And along by this part stretch of the highway drives a Baptist pastor. And he looks, and he puts his blinker on and goes into the other lane and passes on. And then along comes a Sunday school teacher. Maybe he's a deacon. And he looks, and he puts his blinker on, and he passes by on the other lane. But then along comes a Somalian refugee. Or perhaps, if you like it better, an illegal immigrant. And he sees this wreck. Engine's on fire. He doesn't see any emergency vehicles. He pulls over. He runs to the vehicle, pulls the man out, performs first aid, CPR, sees that he's bleeding, pulls him into his own car, drives to the nearest hospital, takes him to the ER, goes to the billing department and said, "Here's my credit card information. If he needs anything, it's on me." That's not what he said. That's their equivalent. The Samaritans were people that were not on the good side of society. They were outcasts. They were half-breeds, you might say, physically and spiritually. They were a leftover from the time when the Assyrian Empire had taken people from the northern kingdom of Israel and scattered them across the Assyrian Empire and taken people from all over the Assyrian Empire and cast them into what was Israel. And the result was a mixed race genetically and a mixed race spiritually, because they had taken from the religions that were from all over the Assyrian Empire and it had blended in with what was left of worship of God in that region. And so by the time of Jesus' day, it's a very mixed up people, physically and spiritually, and the Jews do everything they can to stay away from them. And this is the one that Jesus points to and says, he did the right thing. And if we follow the story as Jesus tells it, we see a few things about love. Godly love. In the life of the Samaritan. We see, first of all, that he loved at the cost of time. At the cost of his own time. Verse 33 says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." As he journeyed, he was going somewhere. He wasn't just out for a stroll. He wasn't just out sitting under a tree somewhere, and he saw this thing happen, so he went over and lent a hand. He was going somewhere. We don't know the reasons behind why the priest and Levite walked by on the other side. Some people theorize that it was because they didn't want to make themselves unclean for the service of God. Some have theorized that they just didn't have time. Jesus doesn't tell us why they went by on the other side of the road, nor does he tell us what the Samaritan was doing. It may have been very important. But no matter what it was, he stopped. And he went down where the man was, and he helped him. He had compassion on him. He took time and went out to help. We see also that he loved him at the cost of convenience. Let's read on. It says, "And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him." We're still using time. All this while, he could have been on his merry way doing what he was set out to do. But instead, he's going off on this detour to an inn But now we have also the added inconvenience of the thing. Because not only does he take the time to go and help, but he then uses of his own materials and uses of his own whatever supplies he had, pours in oil and wine into the man's wounds, and then he sets him on his own beast. Now he can't ride. Or if the beast was a beast of burden, he has to probably unload what the beast was carrying before to put the man on it. It's inconvenient. He loves him generously. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. He wasn't just going to say, well, I got him to an end, that's good enough. He then says, I'm going to take from my supplies, from my financial, I don't know if this was his savings or if it was what the cash he had on him at the time, whatever that was. He said, here's 2 pence, which sounds small to us, but that was not a tiny amount of money at the time. It was probably at least 2 days' wages, at good wages. He said, take care of him, and if you spend more, it's on me. Now keep in mind, this is all for somebody that he didn't know. He had never seen the man before. He didn't know his name, didn't know where he was from, didn't know where he was going, didn't know what had happened to him. All he knew was that he needed help. He loved generously. At the cost of convenience, at the cost of time. But let me say this, who was really being loved here? Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. In the last 2 verses of the chapter. It says, if any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
Amen.
So who's really being loved here? It's God. Because in all likelihood, this man had no great particular feeling for the man he was helping.
Amen.
But because he was in a close enough relationship with God, that when he looked at the man, he saw him and had compassion on him. Because he loved God, he loved his neighbor, and therefore we have the story. And then we get down to the crux of the matter. Jesus asked the lawyer again at the end of this, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? By that he's referring to the Samaritan, the Levite, and the priest. And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Love is more than an emotional feeling. It's not just, butterflies in the stomach or a fuzzy, warm, emotional high or however Hollywood wants to paint it. Love is action. God so loved that he gave. And what he tells this lawyer is, go and do. It's not enough just to have the mental acquiescence of thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and strength and mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Having that in your head doesn't do anybody any good. What is it James says? If you say to your neighbor, be he warmed and filled, but you don't do anything to help him, you've done nothing, and faith without works is dead. You can have the mental knowledge, you can have the mental application, without having a physical application of going and doing what you know to be right. It does nobody any good. It doesn't do them any good because they don't receive any help, and it doesn't do you any good because you have then chosen to hate your brother, and you're not loving God. So it's not a very in-depth message tonight, not a very profound message. It's just simply a look into God's picture of love. What does it mean? It's inconvenient. It takes time. It costs money to love people. I don't like any of those things. I mean, there are some people who just, they're naturally generous or naturally, and they don't care. So they'll spend the time and they'll spend the money and they'll, at least to us it looks like they don't care. But I'm not that guy. If I have to pull money out of my wallet, I'm like, because I'm cheap. I don't like spending money. Unless it's on me. And even then, sometimes I don't. But anyway. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be convenient. It's not going to be what feels good, what feels natural. But it's the action of love. It says, I'm going to take time out of my schedule to help somebody else. Whether it be because they're actually hurt physically, or perhaps because they're hurt emotionally or spiritually. Would I take the time to go and witness to somebody because spiritually they've been left on the side of a highway for dead? Would I take the time to go and encourage a brother because he's been worked over by the forces of evil? Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're free from depression and anxiety and all these emotional baggages and scars and damages that can come along to us through life. Are we willing to restore such and one? It's not going to be easy. It takes time. And I'm not just talking about a few minutes here and a few minutes there, but a lifetime. It is very inconvenient. When you're helping somebody and they're overcoming an addiction and they call you at 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning because they're dealing with something and they need help. Amen. It's not convenient to be roused out of bed because at 1 o'clock in the morning, what I want to do is I'll talk to you later and hang up. What love does is say, all right, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to help you through this because that's what I should do. That's what Jesus would do. It can be expensive helping other people. But just remember that everything you have came from God. It's not yours. And if you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. And guess what? He pays his debts. Jesus lays out a picture of what it means to actually help those who need help.
Amen.
And if you want to be the neighbor, if you want to fulfill the commandments, that if you're close enough to God, you will love your neighbor. And that's what it means. And you don't have to be a pastor to do it. This Samaritan was just an average man. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a Levite. He wasn't even a lawyer or a scribe. He was a Samaritan. Average Joe. Just a plain guy. But every one of you has experiences that can help you to help somebody else. Every one of you has the opportunity to get close enough to God through His Word that you can help somebody out of a spiritual distress. We should all know how to direct somebody through this Word to reconciliation with God. It's not just for pastors or deacons, although we should be doing it too. The priest and Levite here in the story should have done something. And it's by contrast of what they should have done and didn't that the Samaritan shines out so brightly, because He did what they should have done. We're not excused because of our high office, but we're not the only ones who are supposed to bear this type of burden. We, all of us are supposed to look out, bear each other's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The one that was a neighbor was he that showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, "Go and do thou likewise." Let's pray. Lord, it's easy to be the priest. It's easy to be the Levite. I'm sure they had reasons that they could justify to themselves why they passed by on the other side of the road. Sure that it may have been that the priest thought he was being spiritual by refusing to touch an unclean thing. It may have been that the Levite had an urgent appointment to get to. Lord, we don't know. Lord, help us as we go through tomorrow, the next week, that we might have our eyes open and have our hearts in tune with You, so that when we see somebody who has been left on the side of the highway of life, left for dead, abandoned, in a miserable, piteous state, Lord, give us the compassion to stop and help. Though it costs time, though it's inconvenient, though it can cost money. Because in doing that, in loving them, we love You. Lord, we ask that we might each and every one of us be drawn closer to You. That we might be in a position to help when the need arises. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.